Hello and welcome back to another edition of Locked On Spartans. It is Thursday, March 14th, 2019. I am your host, Will Hunter, coming to you, not live, I was going to say, coming to you live. This isn't live, it's a podcast. You guys should know better. Coming to you from my home in Michigan where the Great Melt has started. Everyone from Michigan who is either from Michigan, lives in Michigan now, or has spent a significant amount of time in Michigan, which I'm assuming is almost all of you, knows what I'm talking about. Those first couple of days, things start to really warm up, and all hell breaks loose. There's water and mud everywhere. It's just disgusting. There's like a two-week stretch in Michigan where you can't even go outside without getting covered in mud. I've got two dogs. They love mud. It's a disaster right now at my house. Anyway, welcome to the show. Thanks for tuning in. Good to have you back. Returning listeners, thanks so much for tuning in. New listeners, thanks so much for giving this show a chance. I hope you like it. I hope you decide to stick around. On today's show, I mentioned yesterday it's going to be a little bit of a lighter show. It may or may not. I always try to keep it, you know, tight and then crash through my time and run way long. But we've got three things to talk about today. None of them are super duper in-depth and hopefully won't take too long. So I'm going to try to keep this show tight today. But we're going to talk about, to start off, working back in Nick Ward. Graham Couch at the Lansing State Journal had an interesting column. I want to kind of talk about that and the idea of working in Nick Ward. The team does a bunch of different things without him. Looks a little bit different. So we'll talk about that. I also posted on Twitter yesterday a bracket update from Joe Lunardi at ESPN, his latest sort of bracketology, and I posted it just with a comment like, this seems like, this seems like the most preferable draw for MSU. And I got some good reaction from that, some good discussion, about different teams and things like that. So I do want to talk about that as well, just get into it. A little bit more, I'll tell you about that draw, and I want to look at a different draw to kind of compare some things and talk about things we need to know heading into Selection Sunday. And then after that, third segment, I posted a Twitter poll yesterday asking you how many wins you thought Michigan State football would get this year with spring practice starting up, and so I'll go over the results of that and give just some quick thoughts there. So that is the plan for today's show. Reminder, do rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Subscribing is the easiest way to get these episodes every single day right to your phone. Other ways to listen to the show, on Twitter, at UnSpartans, or at Will_Hunter, 1L2 underscores. I post the shows every single day there. They don't get posted there as early as they would if you would subscribe. You know, they go up at 5 in the morning on the phone and or on the whatever service I use. And then right after that, it ends up at your phone not too long after. And then usually late morning by the time I get to posting on Twitter, but they get up there as well. And then when Facebook is not down, I post it there as well, Locked On Spartans at Facebook. So those are the ways to get the show. Again, subscribing is the best way to do it. It's just the easiest, and you know you will never miss an episode. So, all right, let's talk about some, not bracketology, I was going to say bracketology. Let's talk about working back in Nick Ward. Okay, so Ward has been out for a couple of weeks now, really like 4 weeks now with the broken hand, and he's practicing again. And all indications are that he will be playing in the first game tomorrow in the Big Ten tournament. And really, you know, now Michigan State does have a shot to get a one seed, and that's something certainly to play for. And you want your team to do well and look good going in, and you don't want to, you know, lay an egg in the conference tournament. Although that's, as we discussed yesterday, not the most predictive thing ever, but it just feels better to have them playing well. But the most important thing, I think, in this Big Ten tournament for Michigan State, the number one thing they're going to try to accomplish is what does this all look like with Nick Ward back in the picture? You know, he's been out for a while. The team certainly looked differently. And again, Graham Couch from the Lansing State Journal wrote a column about this, spoke to some coaches and things like that, players at practice. If you want to go read that, do that for sure. It's a good, interesting column. But the basic premise is Michigan State has been doing things differently. And we've talked about this a ton on the podcast. They're a much more versatile defense without Nick Ward. And although Nick Ward has certainly improved on that end of the floor, he's not as versatile of big as Xavier Tillman and really as Kithier, although Kithier struggles in ball screens as you would expect from a freshman. But he's a more athletic guy than Nick Ward and can do a little bit more in terms of moving around. But with Xavier Tillman, Michigan State certainly defends things differently, defends screens differently. They're able to do so with a more versatile big, a more athletic big. And Xavier Tillman, I mean, just in the Michigan game, like, you saw the defensive potential from a guy like him, a super explosive player who can frustrate guys. And if he switches on to a point guard, you're not going to feel like, oh God, this is the end of the world. He's going to get killed here. Whereas Ward has struggled with more athletic bigs at time in his career. You know, he's a big physical guy and he stacks up really well against, you know, like Wesson from Ohio State, you know, big lumbering guys in the post. Ethan Happ, a guy who's not going to extend his game out onto the perimeter. And Ward has really improved in that area, done better on ball screens, but his man-to-man, mano-a-mano, let's see your post moves, let's get physical kind of defense has been good at times this year. It's been really great at times, actually. But the key is, you know, Michigan State without Ward has had a number of moments where they've just looked outstanding defensively and they found something that seems to really work. And the coaches have been talking about this and the players have been talking about this. And Ward, to his credit, has admitted so. He's talked about how, you know, they've been doing different stuff since I've been out and I got to find a way to work myself back in there and sort of fit in. And at this point, it seems like what they're going to try to do in the Big Ten tournament is see where Nick Ward fits in all this. And then offensively, it's kind of a similar thing. We've been seeing very few post-ups. I think, actually, Aaron Henry has the most just true post-ups since Nick Ward's gone out, and he's just, you know, he's got a handful of them. Michigan State's offense is much more in motion. They don't, like, with Ward, you just kick it down there, let him go to work one-on-one and get a bucket, and they just haven't been doing that. That's not Xavier Tillman's game. What they've been doing instead is, you know, Goins, Tillman, Henry, whoever's out there is just, they're just tossing screens at Cassius Winston. Screen, rescreen, pick and roll game, two-man game. It's been huge for them. Pick and pop with Kenny Goins. You know, Tillman rolling to the rim. Kithier rolling to the rim. Things like that. Their offense has been predicated completely on that, and it's been working really well. You know, Michigan State's jumped up a little bit in offensive efficiency here at the end of the season, and they've had some really nice games against good defenses. Michigan is one of the best defenses in the country, and Michigan State had, you know, overall, I mean, there were certainly bad moments within the games, but overall did really well. I mean, scoring 77 on Michigan like they did in Ann Arbor, like, that is one of the highest points per possession that Michigan's given up all season. And they, again, were solid on offense Saturday night. So that's going to be certainly interesting. And it's something that, you know, do they run that stuff, like keep the same starting five, work Ward back in with the second unit, and have a thing where, you know, when Tillman's resting and Ward is in there, you slow the offense down and kind of become more multiple, you know, able to do different things. Because if Nick Ward goes in there, and the other team's not prepared for it, he's going to absolutely kill them. Like, we've seen him kill teams, go for 20 and 10 in his sleep when he gets an advantageous post matchup. And so that's something to keep in mind. You know, how much of that does Michigan State go back to? How much time does Ward see on the floor? What's his conditioning like? And when he's on offense, are they kicking it into him, you know, an offense that's similar to what they saw earlier in the season? Or do they, you know, take the approach of let's keep doing what's been working? Do they start running Nick Ward, a bunch of screens with Nick Ward and Cassius Winston, a two-man game, and get Nick Ward rolling to the rim? You know, he's an athletic guy for his size. He's super strong. He's got great hands and great feet. You know, there's no reason to think that he couldn't be successful in a pick-and-roll type situation, crashing the rim just like he does in transition. And that's another thing. Nick Ward, one of the best bigs in the country at running rim to rim in transition, so that should impact the transition game. You know, I would imagine we see Michigan State, not that they don't ever stop trying to run, but at times they've certainly been stifled without Nick Ward, and I think a lot of that has been defensive game planning against them. But we know Nick Ward's super effective in transition, and so, you know, how much of all of these different things are they working in? And the Big Ten tournament's going to be interesting to see that. It's going to be interesting to see the rotation. Does Nick Ward get plopped back into the starting lineup? Or does he come off the bench and provide a scoring punch off the bench that Michigan State doesn't really have right now? It's an interesting kind of dilemma. And to his credit, he seems to be saying all the right things and understanding that the team is playing really well and had some really excellent performances, excellent moments, excellent stretches without him, and that he's got to find a way to pick his spots, get involved, and be in a, you know, a positive contributor. And I wouldn't expect anything other than that. I think between all the experience on the team, the leadership, the strides we've seen from Nick just in terms of his maturity, his growth, his understanding of who he is as a player, combined with all the experience of this coaching staff, I don't think this is going to be an issue. I don't foresee it as like a problem, like, oh man, how are we going to get Nick Ward back involved? How are we going to get this done without, you know, causing some sort of schism or him getting mad or anything like that? I don't think that's the problem. I think it's more of an interesting thing, like, what's the potential of this? Could it be something where Michigan State, if the matchup is right, you know, Ward only plays 15 to 20 minutes in a game because, you know, you want the more versatile team? Like, just in theory, like, if Michigan State down the road is playing Gonzaga or something like that, a team that's, or Kentucky, a team that's athletic and long, and you need, and really even Michigan, where you need athletic bigs that can move and do different things and try to free up Cassius Winston, does it make more sense to have Xavier Tillman play the starters minutes, play 30 minutes, and then Nick Ward plays 20, subbing in with the second unit, providing kind of a changeup, you know, a little change of pace? So that's going to be really interesting to watch in the Big Ten tournament. That's what I'm going to be kind of keyed in on. And just judging by what the team has said, the coaches, the players, what they've been saying in the past couple of days, that's going to be a real focus for them. And they're all confident in each other. They all think it's going to work out. I think it's going to work out as well. But that's certainly something interesting to look out for and kind of exciting in a way. Because if they can find a way to make it all work, to make everyone, you know, buy in, work as a cohesive unit, keep this really versatile defense with the offense throwing screens and different things, and then able to provide a different look with Nick Ward on the floor and still play elite defense and have, you know, that different look in transition and things like that, if they can pull it off and really get this thing humming in a couple games here, that's just another dimension for this team. It's a great team. It has the number 4 offense in the country, number 9 defense in the country. Like, they're one of the best teams overall in the entire country. If they can add this sort of, you know, secondary pitch, so to speak, and make teams kind of have to game plan for more, question their game plan, not know what to expect, I mean, that's all the better in March, especially in those quick turnarounds. You know, that's something that could be a decisive factor. And there's going to be a point in the NCAA tournament where Nick Ward's going to have to settle in. Like, maybe he's not playing as much in the first game or the second game or whatever, but there's going to be a moment in the tournament where Nick Ward's going to have to get his butt in the post because he's got a matchup against a team that is going to single him or whatever, and this is the way Michigan State's going to generate their offense at night, and he's got to be able to perform. And I think he, when that moment comes, you know, I have all the confidence in the world that he'll be able to do it so long as the hand is okay and the conditioning gets back to where it needs to be. So it's exciting. It's just something to look forward to in the Big Ten tournament, something to watch, something to keep an eye on, read in the press. How are things different? How have things remained the same? And where do they plan on going from there? So, all right, let's break right there for segment one. When we get back, I want to talk about this bracketology thing, Michigan State's draw, and the potential things we need to look out for moving into Selection Sunday. But first, real quick, I've been telling you guys you can play this podcast in your car with your smart device. It's easy. All you have to do is tell the smart device in your car to play podcast Locked On Spartans, and the latest episode of this show, Locked On Spartans, will play right in your car. Okay, welcome back to segment two of today's Locked On Spartans. Let's go over this bracket that Joe Lunardi just posted yesterday morning. So we've been talking a little bit, you know, Michigan State, they have a shot to get a 1 seed now. You know, Gonzaga loses. Does that drop them to 4? Is Michigan State the number 5 or number 6 overall team? You know, where does this all settle out? What happens with Duke? Yada, yada, yada. So right now, there are, I would say, 6 teams with shots at the 1 seed right now, and I would say Virginia has it all locked up. You know, some people think Gonzaga has it locked up. I'm not so sure. Maybe Gonzaga does, But, you know, North Carolina could lock it up too with a good ACC tournament. But I think Virginia's the only dead lock right now. Right now, Michigan State in this bracket from Joe Lunardi is the number two seed in the Midwest. And I think this could be the most advantageous spot for them, the two seed in the Midwest, for a couple of reasons. First, and this was pointed out to me by Joe Cook-Sugart from 131sports.com. He's been on, does bracketology, one of the most accurate bracketologists in the country. He's been on with us before. You can follow him on Twitter at 131sports. Him and I were talking because I asked him, if Michigan State wins the Big Ten tournament, do they jump Gonzaga to get in, or do they need Kentucky to lose early or something like that? And he responded really sharply that, well, if Michigan State wins the Big Ten tournament, they probably get a one, but their best hope is that Kentucky or Carolina or Duke, you know, some combination of that, lose early in their conference tournaments, and Michigan State's able to jump up to the three seed instead of the four, because if they jump to the fourth seed overall, get that last number one seed, and Gonzaga's the five, there's a very real shot, almost guaranteed, because there's no team out west worthy of a one seed aside from Gonzaga, that Michigan State's going to end up as the number one seed out west, and Gonzaga could be their two seed. And that is, in terms of location and matchup, that could be something that comes back to sort of bite Michigan State in the butt, so to speak. And so I think that's really interesting. You know, getting a one seed might, you know, getting a one seed's great, but it might not be the best if you're out west with Gonzaga as the projected 1-2 out there. But he has Michigan State 2 in the Midwest. And this is actually updated since I posted this, and it is now more preferable to Michigan State. So it's actually good. I'll talk about why. But he has Michigan State as the 2 seed in the Midwest. North Carolina's the number 1 seed. Other teams there, Texas Tech's the 3. So he had Wisconsin as the 4, but this is why he had to update it. It's an important thing to remember. The top 4 seeds, so 1, 2, 3, 4 in each region, cannot be teams that have played each other. So in the Midwest, it's North Carolina, Michigan State, Texas Tech, and Kansas State. None of those teams have played each other, so it works out. Earlier, instead of Kansas State, it was Wisconsin. And so that would be a bracket that wouldn't be able to work out, because Wisconsin and Michigan State are both top 4 seeds in the region and have played each other. So that's something to keep an eye on in this. And why that's also important is that right now, the 3 seeds are pretty much, and some people, you know, some people have LSU as a 3, some have them as a 2. Joe has the 3 seeds right now as Houston, Purdue, Michigan, and Texas Tech. And that means Michigan State can only get out of those four, Houston or Texas Tech, if those are the all the 3 seeds. And so Houston is preferable in that because they're rated lower in KenPom, and Michigan State probably matches up a little bit better with them. So that's the only sort of thing in this bracket that is less than ideal. But I'm just going to go through it here real quick. Michigan State's playing Montana as the 15 seed, and then their 7-10 matchup is Cincinnati and Arizona State. And as for 7 seeds, the teams that are the 7 seeds right now, Cincinnati is the one you want. Louisville has already beat Michigan State, but it's 18th in KenPom or 19th in KenPom. Wofford is the 7 seed. They're 18th in KenPom. They're really good. And Iowa State's like 21st, I think. And then Cincinnati is all the way down to like 27 or something like that. So I really like that. Earlier it was Wofford, and I was okay with Wofford. That was the discussion I was having with people about Wofford. Wofford's good this year. They're certainly, you know, don't let the fact that they're Wofford fool you. They're really good, but they have struggled against the major conference teams that they've played. The good teams that they've played from big conferences, they've lost to, and that's where all their losses came from. So that's a matchup I didn't mind earlier when I posted this tweet. The potential 2-7 matchup was Michigan State-Wofford, and I was okay with that, but now it's Michigan State against either Cincinnati or Arizona State, which is more preferable. The bracket I'm looking at is almost like perfect right now. If you could swap Houston and Texas Tech, it would be a near perfect bracket right now. So the 6 in this is Nevada. The 4 is Kansas State. The 5 is Maryland. And then the 8-9 is Ole Miss, Washington. None of those teams, I think, you know, we know Maryland. We know Michigan State's better than Maryland. Kansas State is a solid team. Not somebody you particularly fear in the 4. You know, Kansas is a 4 seed. as well. And that's something, you know, as Ibuki's out for them and Kansas has really kind of changed a lot since earlier in the season. But I like, you know, I like Kansas State. I really like North Carolina as the one. It's far preferable to Virginia, far preferable to Gonzaga, Kentucky, or Duke. I think of all the options of a one seed that Michigan State could potentially have to play, North Carolina is the best one. And so that in the Midwest, you know, it's Kansas City would be where they would eventually square off with that team. And so the distance, you know, Michigan State's a little bit closer than Carolina there. So we know Spartans travel really well, and so does North Carolina. So an Elite Eight matchup there would be exciting, but that's something where I could certainly see Michigan State, if this were to play out, doing well against Carolina in Kansas City. So that's the big thing I wanted to talk about in this is those three seeds. And they're really interesting, and that's something that is probably going to come up with Michigan State because that 2-3 matchup is the Sweet 16, the most likely Sweet 16. And so if it holds right now, and we'll see what shakes out with these conference tournaments, but if Michigan and Purdue both stick on that three line, that's going to limit you know, who Michigan State could play. And I'd rather play Texas Tech than an LSU if LSU slips to the three line. And Houston is the most like preferable option there. So that's something to look out for in Selection Sunday. If Houston's sticking around on that three line, that's the three seed you want. The one seed you want, we already kind of went over that. It'd be nice to avoid Wofford because they're going to be underseeded as a seven seed, most likely. And again, this is all projection stuff, but a lot of people have Wofford on the seven line. A lot of people have Louisville on the seven line. That's something where, you know, you'd rather see Wofford than Louisville. Although Wofford is a team that takes a ton of threes and makes a ton of threes, so that's always something that can cause an upset in March. And then real quick here, I want to switch over to, what's his name? Howie, right? Howie Schwab at Fox. His latest bracket, just to give another bracket to kind of break this down of something that's less preferable. And this is Michigan State as a two seed out west, as Gonzaga is their number one seed there. So that is less than ideal. They're the seventh seed in this one. It's Louisville, probably, you know, there's Louisville, VCU, Iowa State, and Villanova. Of all those teams, I'd least like to see Louisville. So that's a tough draw there. The three is LSU, and like I said, a lot of people have LSU as a two. They're interesting because their coach is currently not their coach because of scandals and things like that. So that's something interesting, but Louisville's a really good three seed as well. So that's just real quick, a different bracket, a different thing to look at that is much less preferable than the one that Lenardi's got out right now. So if we're rooting for something, we're rooting for the Lenardi bracket. All right, let's break right there. When we get back, I want to go through this poll from Twitter of how you guys voted on Michigan State's win total for this season. Before we break, though, hey, if your company is looking for a new way to reach customers, you could be mentioned right now. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors to hear on their favorite shows. And our demographic earns more money and has more education than traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor this podcast. Email me at lockedonspartans@gmail.com. Okay, last segment of the day here. We're getting through this sucker. Let's address the poll results as I try to stumble over to the right Twitter account. When you have multiple Twitter accounts, yada, yada, yada. Okay, I'm in the right spot. You can find the Twitter polls at OnSpartans or at Will_Hunter, 1L2 underscores. The unsponsored poll of the day was, spring football starts tomorrow. How many games does MSU win in football this year? I don't know why I had to put that qualifier in. It doesn't really, spring football starts, whatever. I could have just asked that, although it's kind of a random question to ask in the middle of March. Anyway, 15% of voters, there's actually some time left in this, but we'll just tally it up as we are now. 15% of voters said 10 or more. Then we had 8 to 9 wins was an option. That's where 62% of you went. 18% went 6 or 7 games, and 5% went less than 6. So the 5% of you, buck up. It's going to be better than that. I voted on this one. I went 8 to 9. I think the schedule sets up pretty favorably for them. I think, you know, we can talk as much as we want about how poorly it went offensively last year. I think the staff shakeups will make some sort of difference. You know, there's been successful offenses here before, and I'm not sure, you know, the scheme's not going to change a ton, but I think it might a little bit, and my answer might change, you know, depending on what spring football looks like, what they look like in the scrimmages and the spring game and things like that. But I just think this team's going to have one of the three or four best defenses in the country next year. And, you know, honestly, with a little bit better luck last year in terms of injuries, just a little bit more competency, that could have been a 10-win team pretty easily. They had the number one defense, according to S&P Plus, in the country, better than Alabama, better than Clemson, better than Michigan. They had the number one defense, and they bring back a ton of guys. And the guys they lose are... they're losing at spots where they have a bunch of really good younger players at those spots. Like Michigan State has some good young safeties, good young corners, good young linebackers. Like there's a lot of talent on that defense. I would expect that defense to be the best defense in the conference and perhaps one of, if not the best defenses in the country next year. And so I think they'll have a little bit better luck in injuries because those things kind of tend to, you know, they switch back and forth. One year it's terrible, the next year it's better. You know, a little bit better luck in close games, you know, like records in one score games tend to even out over time. So like the loss against Northwestern and the loss against Arizona State, you know, that sort of stuff will shake out. So I think Michigan State with elite defense and a little bit more competency on offense and some better luck could end up winning 8 or 9 games. And if things really break right for them, it could be a 10 or 11 win season. It's a good team. There's a lot of good players all over the place. It's a program that really knows how to win. That's a stupid thing to say, really knows how to win. Has won a lot. I'll say it that way. It's a program that has won a lot. It's in the culture to compete for and win Big Ten titles. So I would expect certainly expect a bounce back year. I voted 8 or 9 right now, but I'm reserving the right to change it to a higher number if the offense looks really competent in the spring game and if we're hearing positive things, different types of plays and scheme and tempo and things like that, things we talked at length about during the football season, things we complained about at length during the football season. So that's where I'm at right now. Majority of you are with me. I'm probably going to do this poll again after the spring game, depending on how things look, because that can really alter perception, and I like to compare you know, this type of poll to something after we get a little bit of results to see how things have changed. So those are the results. Like I said, 15%, 10 or more, really optimistic. I'm happy for you guys. I'm with you. I hope it happens. But 62% from 8 to 9 and then 18% from 6 to 7 wins. So that's the poll. I may or may not throw up another poll on Twitter tomorrow. I don't have any ideas at the moment, but maybe I'll think of one. So just check Twitter if you want to, or if you follow me, you'll probably see it if I post one up there. So, all right, that's the end of today's show. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow to preview the Big Ten tournament opener for Michigan State. We will know who they are playing, so we'll get to talk about that a little bit. And we'll have some more information on, you know, Nick Ward status and different things like that. So there'll be plenty of things to talk about. Thanks so much for listening to today's show. Reminder to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. We will be back tomorrow with a new episode of Locked On Spartans. Until then, go green.